Professor John Clayton doing great work last night on ESPN Radio's coverage of round one of the NFL draft. He'll be back in better than ever for round two tonight, starting at 6 o'clock Eastern time. And Professor, I suppose there really is only one question to start with, and that is, what happened to Jimmy Clausen in the first round last night?
It's just amazing to think that he dropped that far. And, you know, obviously I think that, you know, you look at Brady Quinn through the years, you look at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this is one of the biggest falls you could ever remember, a quarterback that you would think would be the second quarterback in the draft, and to have Tim Tebow go ahead of you. I don't know. I guess what it came down to, it may be he didn't convince enough people as far as the interviews. You look at the talent, you think there's enough talent there, but it's to me staggering to think that he did not go in the first round of this draft. I know there was only a handful of teams looking at quarterbacks, but to have that entire handful pass on him, to me, is staggering.
I think it's amazing. And in the interviews, I had heard he'd done fantastic, especially getting up at the board and talking about pro-style defenses and such, and his pro day went well. It's really, really somewhat shocking. So now the question is, what happens? Will teams jump up to get him at the beginning of the second round? Where will he go?
You wonder about that, because obviously St. Louis is going to be sitting there at the top of the draft and will be fielding a lot of calls, and if there's interest in Clausen, that's where it may be. But if he would slip all the way through the first round, you wonder if that interest is going to be there, because sitting there at the seventh pick of the second round, you have Cleveland. I gather that they may look at Colt McCoy more than they would Jimmy Clausen. Buffalo may take a similar position, although I think that they like Tim Tebow. You know, I'm amazed. I just don't know how far the fall is going to be. But when you consider that he was supposed to be the most ready quarterback to come in this league and to not go in the first round and to have questions about the second round, you know, where does it stop? He has to hope that something good happens, because I think that he's better than just being a second-round pick.
Mike and Mike, the Professor John Clayton, who again was last night with us on ESPN Radio's coverage of the draft. Let's make predictions here. Where is Clausen going to wind up, and where is McCoy going to wind up?
I think McCoy's going to probably end up in Cleveland.
Will they have to trade up to get him, or will they get him where they're sitting?
No, I think they're going to be able to get him where they're sitting.
Okay.
That's the scary part, because when you look at Clausen, and you know that if you get past, say, the 17th or 18th pick in the round, all of a sudden you're now at winning teams, and those teams have quarterbacks, and that's why he's facing so much danger. And now at least two teams are off the market, because St. Louis has their quarterback in Sam Bradford. Denver is still staggering to think that they used a first round pick on Tim Tebow. You know, they're obviously not going to be looking at him. You know, I guess the hope would be that maybe a Minnesota Viking team would be able to do something. You know, could he fall all the way down to 60 and go with somebody like a Pete Carroll? That could be a possibility. But, you know, from his standpoint, I guess at this stage, you got to hope that there's going to be a winning team that's looking to groom a quarterback and give him an opportunity to be in a better position than he is right now.
Mike and Mike, John Clayton's with us. You had the story yesterday, John, during the day, that it appeared unlikely the Steelers were going to trade Ben Roethlisberger. Now that the first round is over, how would we classify the chances of Roethlisberger getting dealt?
None. Absolutely none. And I think what happened was that, you know, a lot of the anger was going from the Steelers and just being in the position to listen to teams that are calling and at least consider the trade possibilities. But I think what it came down to is that when they heard the response that teams were just calling and really not talking about much, I think that they started to wise up and say, listen, it's time to end this. You know, they're not going to trade him at this stage. They're not going to get the value for him. I guess that's understandable, because Ben has put himself in a position where, you know, he's made the mistakes off the field. It's cost him on the field. It's cost his team on the field. And it's cost himself such a value that, from the Steelers' standpoint, they cannot get the value in a trade. So I think it's completely dead. He'll just have to concentrate on cleaning up his life and trying to make sure that sentence is going to be 6-4. And then the trade possibilities would stop maybe next year if he makes another mistake. But the key for Ben right now is not making that mistake.
All right, John Clayton, he'll be back with us Monday going through everything that happens over the weekend. But quickly, what was the one pick you liked the most last night, and what was the one that left you scratching your head the most?
Well, the one that left me scratching the head was certainly Alo going to Jacksonville at 10, because particularly with Derek Morgan being able to be available to them, and they were looking for a pass rusher. Most people had Alo in the second round of the draft, and so, you know, Gene Smith is a very brilliant drafter, but that one just had me scratching the head. And I think from the standpoint of Dallas being able to get Dez Bryant, you know, they only had to move up a couple spots. I know Tony Romo was electric. He was texting people, emailing people. It's like, let's go for the throat. Let's get guys like this. Let's break some records. So I think Dez Bryant, even though, again, he has questions off the field as far as his work ethic, going down to Dallas, to me, is just a steal.
That was a great pick. John yeah. Clayton will be listening tonight. Thank you, Professor.
Thanks.
You're listening to the best of Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio Pod Center.
Mel Kiper on the NFL draft last night, and he's with us now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Let's jump into it, Mel. Round one in the books. It was Thursday night, apart from the rest of the draft. In your view, how did that work?
I think it was just weird not having a round two right after the first round comes to a screeching halt, and we got to wait another night, another 24 hours, basically. It was just odd from that standpoint. The anticipation, the build-up was great. The fact that the first round rolled through, it started all out fast and furious. It calmed down a little bit late. But, you know, I think today will be interesting to see how many moves at the top of the second round we have with teams having all this extra time to prepare when normally they wouldn't. Normally we'd be getting up right now after going into round three or round four. So we'll see how day two, which is now, you know, used to be part of day one, is affected by this layoff.
It's got to be an excruciatingly long day for Jimmy Clausen. Mel, you had him rated fourth on your board. What happened?
You know, I was talking last night to a lot of people about that, and I think the thing was that teams are drafting for need. They felt comfortable with their quarterbacks. I think Jimmy, the fact that he had the injury, may have affected some people's thought process. Remember, he played very well, but he was not 100% since September 19th. And you know what he went through as a freshman and sophomore. Go, you know that. So he never really had that one year where he could just say he nailed it. And that's something that affected. I'm not concerned about it. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, boy, I was crazy for it. Hey, bottom line is, can he play? It's not about where you go in the draft. It's can you play? A lot of guys went in the first round as quarterback and couldn't play. So it doesn't matter. I mean, Brett Favre didn't sit there and say, oh, my God, my career's over. I went in the second round when I was projected by Kiper to go 20th in the first round. Or Drew Brees was there last night. He went in the first pick of the second round. You go back to Aaron Rodgers, the way he slid. So I'm not. I remember when the Redskins were thinking about Russ Grimm in the first round. They got him in with the third round. So to me, it's not about where you go. It's can you play. And I think Jimmy, that'll give him a little bit of a chip on his shoulder about that. Maybe Colt McCoy as well, but Colt wasn't projected to go until the late first anyway. But for Jimmy, there's 11 teams, guys, in the second round, from Minnesota at the second pick of the second to Minnesota, three picks before the end of the second, and a lot of teams in between, like Kansas City up again, Cleveland, Oakland, Buffalo, Carolina picks first in the middle of the second, first pick of this draft, 49ers go again, Kansas City again at 50, Pittsburgh at 52, Seattle at 60, and then Minnesota at 62. There's a lot of teams, good organizations in there as well, some good organizations. That's the most important thing. What team do you go to? What coach do you go to? You get continuity. That will determine whether Jimmy Clausen is successful as much as anything right now.
And, well, to go along with the surprise of him not going into the first round is the fact that Tim Tebow does. So at least one team had Tebow rated higher than Jimmy Clausen. Mm-hmm. We had heard that we thought he may go at the end of the first round in Tim Tebow. Did this surprise you where he went and that he went ahead of Jimmy?
Well, he's different, Mike. You know, he's not Jimmy. Jimmy is Jimmy. Jimmy is a pro-style quarterback. Tim is not. And there's no comparison in terms of how they got their job done. Tim did it in a Florida offense with great players around him, spreading it out, running the ball, jump passes, unconventional quarterback play. Super long delivery that everybody hopes is tweaked, and because you can't, I understand what we were saying yesterday about that delivery. That delivery is longer than any other quarterback I've ever seen. I don't think cornerbacks in the NFL will have a problem dealing with that if he doesn't adjust it. But I think in terms of they saw something, and remember, we thought New England. Well, what's the connection with New England and Denver? Josh McDaniels, right, with Bill Belichick. So, you know, versatile, smart, tough, passionate football players. Belichick wanted it. McDaniels wants it, and Tim Tebow is all about that. So I just think that they're two completely different. If they were both pro style and similar, you say, boy, that's a red flag. It's over. Tim Tebow is a night and day from Jimmy Clausen in terms of the way they get their job done. I'm a Jimmy fan. I don't think Tebow will be successful. John Gruden strongly does. A couple others in the NFL I talked to did, and obviously Denver does, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully, like I said, we want more quarterbacks in the NFL to be successful than not, because we're all NFL fans, so you hope that he is successful. He's going to be wearing number 15 because they moved Brandon Marshall to wear 15. Now Tim at least can wear his old number.
Mike and Mike, Mel Kiper is with us, and for a quarter century, the best thing on television has been watching Mel Kiper when a pick is made that he doesn't like and doesn't understand. Which picks last night did you think were total reaches?
Well, Alu Alu at 10. Denver did this with Derek Harvey a few years ago, and yeah, I understand. I think what happened there was C.J. Spiller knew I thought Buffalo. I mean, we thought Buffalo, C.J. Spiller would go a lot of places, not Buffalo. Even though they needed a scat back, maybe Dexter McCluster in the third round, something like that. They needed an offensive lineman. You got Anthony Davis. You got guys like Bulaga there. You need play help at that spot. You think they're going to take it. Maybe the quarterback takes Spiller. That, I think Jacksonville was eyeing up Spiller. When he's gone, they figure, oh, you know, if you're looking for the best defensive end at that point, you take Derek Morgan. With that said, Alu Alu led all Pac-10 defensive linemen in tackles last year. He did a good job. He was a hot guy for the early, late first, early to mid second round. That approach is if you're a good football player, like pro bowlers don't go in the early to mid second. So if Jacksonville feels like he's that good, you take him. I wasn't that crazed about that because I liked him as a player. If I didn't like him as a player, I'd rip the pick and say, come on, this guy's not a good player. But I think he is a good football player. They took him higher than I thought they would. The shocker to me was, and it wasn't a shocker that Jimmy didn't get drafted in the first round. It wasn't because we had heard, I know Morton, Adam Schefter, they do this for a living. They thought 30 to Minnesota. Minnesota traded out of there. Detroit wasn't taking him, Indy wasn't taking him, and New Orleans wasn't taking him. So that wasn't, guys, a shocker once that happened. And I went in thinking he may have wrote about it in a report that he could be Aaron Rodgers. Now he becomes a second-round pick. So be it.
You will see Mel Kiper tonight. Coverage 6 o'clock Eastern Time on ESPN Rounds 2 and 3. Then all day tomorrow, which is where Mel really earns his stripes. And he will be back in Better Than Ever with us on Monday morning with his grades for every team in the NFL. Great work as always, Mel. Thank you.
And by the way, guys, McShay's sitting next to me all day 3.
Oh, is he really?
All of day 3. I'm looking forward to that one, man.
They need to give you guys an extra couple hours, just the two of you.
Put the gloves on.
She's going to sit between us to officiate.
All right. Thank you, Mel. That's Mel Kiper. Mel and McShay there. Tremendous to watch.
You're listening to the best of Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio Pod Center.
Todd McShay in our studio. Great work last night on the broadcast. You'll see him like crazy tonight and tomorrow on ESPN with the coverage of the draft. Right off the top, obviously the quarterbacks are the story here, McShay. How would you describe your reaction to Tim Tebow being off the board and Jimmy Clausen and Colt McCoy still being on it?
I was surprised with Tebow. I really was. We had heard, and you know, we talked about it, and Mel, you know, Mel came on and dropped that bomb the other day, 80% chance he could come in first, and Adam Schefter was, you know, continuing to say, just don't be surprised, don't be surprised. But let's face it. Tim Tebow, 25, is a huge risk. And, nobody can sit here right now and say that he's not going to work out. But right. You have to look at the percentages, and you have to look at what he has to overcome, from the delivery to the footwork and accuracy to reading progressions. It is going to be a long, long developmental process. And you're picking in the first round. Denver believes it's not far away from being a team that can make a run deep in the playoffs. How does he make you better? Is my question. And I love the Demaryius Thomas pick. I think they had a decision between Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas. There's less baggage with Demaryius Thomas. They just sent a guy with baggage out, Brandon Marshall. Take Thomas, phenomenal talent, no problem with that. But Tim Tebow there, the good news for Tim Tebow and for Broncos fans is that Josh McDaniels may be the one guy that can actually get him to break those habits. He is among the best quarterback coaches in the NFL. Matt Gutierrez, he worked with the Patriots. Nobody really got to know, but getting that release and making it quicker. But the bottom line is I thought it was a huge reach. I wasn't shocked with Jimmy Clausen falling out of the first. Certainly it was a big story, but I think we were bracing for it as we got closer and closer. But Tim Tebow at 25, I thought was the second biggest reach of the entire draft.
Well, we'll get to your first reach in a moment. Let's stick on the quarterbacks for one more. Where do you think, how early in the second round, if it's going to be early, for both Clausen and McCoy?
I think McCoy at 38. We've talked about the Cleveland Browns. I also think overnight, having this time to go back and you know, people say restack the board. I think more than anything, it's just time to make the phone calls and work through deals. And the Cleveland Browns, if they really have the interest that I think they should have in him and maybe possibly do, you know, package one of those other. They've got a bunch of picks now, the rest of the draft. Package a couple of those, move up a few spots, and secure Colt McCoy early on. The Buffalo Bills would be a landing spot. 41, I believe. Overall.
41.
41.
How about if people thought Minnesota at 30, then they traded out. Now they're sitting at 34 on a clock.
I think Minnesota was just basically a spot you looked at and said, well, they could maybe. That's the only team from 18 through 32 that you looked at and said, well, maybe a long-term project. I think Buffalo would be a much better fit, 41. People are talking about Kansas City still as well. You know,
36.
Obviously, I heard a lot about Charlie Weiss pushing for Clawson, and which would make sense. Obviously, they had a lot of success together in Notre Dame. He lost that battle in the first round, which is understandable, and they got one of the best players in this year's draft. I thought that was a great pick. But maybe he wins the battle the second time around.
They took Eric Berry, the safety, number 5 overall. Mike and McShay, so you said you thought Tebow was the second biggest reach. What was first?
Tyson Alualu. And I like Tyson Alualu.
Hence to Jacksonville.
And I've generally liked what Jacksonville does in the draft. I mean, they've generally drafted pretty well, in my opinion. I think what happened is, and this is just a guess, C.J. Spiller comes off the board at 9. And they were hoping he was going to be there at 10. They can't maybe make a deal that they thought was worth the value, and they sit there and take the best player on their board. And sometimes, you know, their board doesn't stack up with what everyone else's opinion is. He's a good player, but you had Derek Morgan from Georgia Tech, Jason Pierre-Paul.
Now, those are ends, though, and they did sign Aaron Kampman.
Right.
And they're going to go back to the 4-3, and Kampman will be that end.
Exactly.
So they had that.
And at the time, you thought Dan Williams, but obviously Dan Williams was falling a little bit for a reason. But Earl Thomas. And they needed a free safety badly,
yeah.
And Earl
yeah.
Thomas is a stud.
Yeah,
it was worth the pick there. So, you know, it's easy to second guess now. Tyson Alualu is a good player, but I just thought they really reached at number 10, the money you have to spend at that pick.
Okay, so up near the top, the names that we expected were the names that went. When you get past the area of number 10, give me the ones you loved. Give me the marriage of player to pick and including the value that you said, okay, here, home run.
Love the Tennessee Titans. They need a defensive end. They got Derek Morgan. Mm-hmm. I thought one of the top two. Actually, the number one defensive end on our board. I thought that was a great pick at 16 overall. I thought that Kareem Jackson of the Texans was an underrated pick. People don't necessarily realize how good Kareem Jackson is and how NFL ready he is, coming from Nick Saban's defense. The Bengals at 21, everyone had it in their mock draft. It was easy to see, but you just thought, well, we're all assuming it. Everyone knows where they have to go to get him. And New England sitting there one spot, was sitting one spot behind the Bengals at that time and could have easily popped up one spot with all the picks they had. It didn't work out that way. They got the tight end that they needed. And Greeny, it's not because you're here, because I like to get you agitated early in the morning sometimes, but I love Kyle Wilson at 29 to the Jets. And they have cornerbacks. It wasn't a need. But now all of a sudden you've got a defensive mind and Coach Ryan that can dial up the blitzes and do a lot of different things. And you've got three corners that can hold up. Kyle Wilson is a big, big time cover corner who can return a little bit and also just has the confidence to step in and as that slot cover corner right away. I think he was a huge value late in the first.
Of the first rounders that we see here who got picked, who do you think steps in and has the biggest immediate impact for their team? Tough to do on O-linemen, I understand.
Right.
Because more than a few of these guys will step in and be starters. But who do you think has an immediate big impact?
I thought it was a very aggressive move. I'm not sure it was, you know, overly risky or however you want, but I thought it was an aggressive move for San Diego to move up to number 12 and to take Ryan Matthews. But with that said, he fits what they
he's going to get chances.
He's going to get chances, and running backs tend to be able to come in and contribute right away. I think at number 5, Eric Berry, too. You know, they need that one difference maker on the defensive back 7, and they've been drafting guys and switching from a 4-3 to 3-4. I think Eric Berry can be a huge playmaker for the Chiefs.
Mike, Todd McShay in our studio here. Of course, you'll see him tonight and tomorrow, ESPN's coverage of the draft tonight, second and third round, and then tomorrow, 4-7. Years ago, when we did the draft together with you on ESPN Radio, I used to refer to McShay's McBoard.
That's right.
Who are the 5 highest-ranked players on the McBoard remaining as we go to round 2?
Sergio Kindle, the defensive end outside linebacker from Texas, is the number one player still left on the board. Outside linebacker Darryl Washington from TCU, I think, is an underrated athlete, fits in a weak side linebacker in 4-3. You have two offensive tackles, Charles Brown. That's why.
From USC,
Is that why?
No, that's not
USC.
Why we got all this USC.
No,
we'll
no. Taylor Mays. Stop it.
No? We'll explain that.
Okay. Roger Saffold, the offensive tackle from Indiana, and then Colt McCoy. Clawson. Jimmy Clawson and Colt McCoy right there. 1-2.
So, for those who are saying there's a stunner that Clawson fell out, for months now, you've had Clawson ranked in the 30s. You never had him ranked higher than
38
that.
In that range.
So he's going to go right around where you think he should go.
Right.
Not where it seemed to me everyone else thought he was going to go, but right around where you thought he should go. We'll see who's right.
Tim Tebow was about 30 picks before, so you win some, you lose some.
Yeah. Always a lot of surprises. He's the best. Todd McShay, we'll see him tonight. Thank you, McShay.
You got it, Paul.
You're listening to the best of Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio Pod Center.
Mark Schlereth, of course, played 6 years with the Broncos, won two Super Bowls there with a really good quarterback by the name of John Elway. Mm-hmm. He joins us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with his thoughts on the selection of Tim Tebow. Mark Schlereth, hats aside, what do you think of the Broncos taking the quarterback from Florida?
Well, I love it. I mean, I've always said that I thought the guy's a great football player. Forget about the quarterback issue. Forget about is he going to be ready, how much work you have to do. The guy's a great football player. And really, isn't that what the draft is supposed to be about, getting great football players? I mean, one thing that we know about Josh McDaniels right now in Denver, he wants great football players with great character, and he's gotten rid of the guys that he doesn't think fit that bill. So, to me, it's a wonderful move. It's a great move, and Tim Tebow is exactly that. He's a great football player that everybody in Denver is pretty excited about.
Well, he's a great football player on the college level, and as far as him being a good guy, that's great. We all love good guys, and I understand that. But you know, you started out by saying forget the quarterback position. You can't forget the quarterback position, Mark. This kid was taken in the first round. At some point, he's going to be expected to take this team over as the quarterback. And that's where the questions come in. So those have to be answered.
Right. And they will be. I think the thing right now is you've got Kyle Orton. He's going to be your guy. You're going to groom him. Tim Tebow. One of the things they tried to do last year with different degrees of success was they ran what they called their wild horses, which is just a form of wildcat. I think he fits perfectly in that. But, I mean, obviously the guy's a hard worker. The guy wants to be great. He wants to have an opportunity to play quarterback. They're going to give him that opportunity. But at the same time, as I mentioned, the guy's a great football player. So while you're working into that, while you're becoming what you're eventually going to be, you can still be of value to this football team. And I think that's the key to what the Denver Broncos are looking at and saying, you know, this is a very valuable guy. He's a very valuable guy. He'll be a great guy in the community, but he's going to be a good player for us. And listen, man, I'm one of those people that believes he's going to do the work to become a great quarterback.
It's going to be very interesting to watch. I like the perspective, Stink. We'll see. One of us is going to wind up being right. It may very well be you. Thanks for jumping in, buddy.
Thanks, Mark.
See you guys.
This is our buddy Mark Schlereth in Denver with perspective, and he likes it. And that's the one thing. If they are going to run the Wildcat, and they did it a little bit last year, certainly he can do that.
And he absolutely could step in immediately and do that. Think about what the Wildcat's all about. You know, now you have the threat of him running because he's a 240-pounder and can run or throwing the ball. I mean, he's a perfect quarterback for that. And certainly now, but he's going to need to develop into more than that. And listen, just because I'm giving the opinion I am or other people that are surprised about the pick doesn't mean we don't want the kid to succeed. We just wonder if he's going to be able to.
As far as the perspective from our set last night, Tom Jackson made an interesting point. Everyone keeps talking about what a great kid he is. Everyone keeps talking about what a great person he is. Everyone keeps talking about what a great leader he is. Well, Tom Jackson remembers.
I'm a little bit surprised that he went as early as he did. Even, I mean, it's my team. And I'm surprised that he went that early. And now the question will be, you know, answered when you get him on the field and in what capacity you get him on the field. And I'm sure he's great for the locker room. But again, I think that in order to lead, you have to be playing. In order to lead in this league, you have to play.
I really like that. Yeah. You know, you got to play. Either you can play or you can't.
And he doesn't have to play right now because, listen, especially at the quarterback position, you can get drafted and know you're going to sit for a little bit. So I don't have a problem with that. The big thing is, though, when Aaron Rodgers was going to sit behind Brett Favre, the thought was, well, we know we believe he has quarterback skills to be successful in this league. That's the biggest question about Tebow. Forget the intangibles. He's a winner and he's a great guy. We know all that. But at some point it comes down to talent on the field. And the question is, can he parlay his talent in college to the NFL? That's the biggest question.
Trey Wingo, the star of NFL Live, flying by with a thought. Trey, what do you think of Tebow to the Broncos?
Well, it's a bold move by Denver, but I just wanted to go on what something that Golic had just said, and Mark talked about it too, the idea of him running the wildcat or the wild horses. I'm not so sure he's going to be very good at that at the next level, because when he ran in college, he didn't try to avoid people. He tried to run them over. And Golic, you know better than anybody, a quarterback in this league trying to make a living running people over, that'll work for about six plays, and then he'll be on the bench or in the hospital.
I agree with that partially. The only thing I'll say about it is because he can throw, that's going to keep the defense on their heels. Where you know when Ronnie Brown runs it in Miami, he's going to run the ball. So people are up, and they just block it extremely well. But because Tebow can throw as well, I think that can keep the defense back a little bit to where he can have a little more room to run. But his point is taken. Tebow's not juking anybody.
Right.
You know, he puts his head down, and he'll put his head down, but that could cost him as
no,
well.
No, I agree with you. And Trey, and thanks for jumping in, Trey. I agree with Trey because you don't run the Wildcat to throw the ball most of the time.
But now you run. But that's the point.
I know that you can.
Now you can with him. That's the point.
But at least half the time, he's still going to wind up running it.
I know, but that's okay. It's running when there's guys right there or running with a little bit of space first.
But at some point, someone's going to tackle him.
Well, I know he's going to get hit, but, I mean, he is 240. It's not like he's going to die with a hit. I mean, the guy gets hit before, so I'm not too worried about that. I really do think he could run the Wildcat well because the Wildcat is meant more for running, but he can throw it. I really think that's a huge edge for the offense.
I'll say this. I like Pat White running a Wildcat a lot more than I like Tim Tebow running a Wildcat.
I understand that because he's quicker. No,
Pat White can run with the ball in a whole different variety of ways and throw it.